NATO readies forces as intelligence points to imminent Iranian attack. The collapse of the U.S.-Iran Memorandum of Understanding on Monday has left European NATO members exposed to a credible strike threat, with Bulgaria's Bessemer Air Base now at the center of the alliance's most acute deterrence test since the war in Ukraine began. NATO confirmed on Wednesday that it intercepted 4 ballistic missiles Iran launched toward Turkey this year, a data point the alliance offered as evidence its defensive posture remains functional. The statement, issued by an unnamed NATO official and cited by Al Jazeera on August 19, 2026, was direct. NATO is prepared to address any threat and will always do what is necessary to defend all allies. The trigger was a Financial Times report that Iran has considered strikes against U.S. military locations across Europe, a scenario that gained operational weight after Bulgaria's parliament approved Bessemer Air Base as a refueling station for U.S. military aircraft in July and authorized roughly 250 U.S. personnel to operate there until October. Bulgaria's Interior Minister, Ivan Demirjiev, told the country's BTA news agency that his government had taken all possible measures at Bessemer in coordination with the Ministry of Defense, calibrated to a threat level he described as exceeding what security services currently indicate. "We are constantly monitoring the situation and developments and will continue to take precautionary measures that are far more extensive and intensive than the level of threat indicated by the information available at the moment," he said. What this means for institutional capital is structural, not episodic. The expiration of the U.S.-Iran MOU on Monday without a successor agreement, the absence of active negotiations, and Iran's explicit warning through Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi to Bulgaria that any party participating in military action against Iran will certainly have to accept responsibility for its consequences, collectively signal that the geopolitical risk premium on southeastern European sovereign exposure, defense procurement cycles, and energy infrastructure has repriced. The question is not whether investors have noticed. The question is whether they have priced the second-order effects correctly. The Bessemer precedent and the southeastern Europe exposure map Bulgaria's position is not incidental. The Bessemer authorization came in July, weeks before the Financial Times report surfaced, which means Demirjiev's, more extensive than the threat level, posture represents a real-time risk management response rather than a political statement. That distinction matters for sovereign credit and foreign direct investment assessments of NATO's eastern and southeastern members. The only European base struck since the U.S.-Israel war on Iran began in February has been a British airbase in Cyprus, where a drone attack occurred after hostilities commenced. That precedent establishes that Iran has both the intent and the capability to reach European-based U.S. assets. The question for Bulgaria, Romania, and other southeastern NATO members hosting U.S. infrastructure is not hypothetical. The Cyprus strike is the existence proof. Iranian Foreign Minister Araghchi's direct call to his Bulgarian counterpart, reported by Iran's Tasnim news agency, was not diplomatic courtesy. It was coercive signaling, and the fact that it came immediately after Bulgaria's parliamentary authorization suggests Tehran monitors NATO basing decisions in near real time. NATO intercepted 4 ballistic missiles Iran launched toward Turkey in 2026. That number, modest in isolation, establishes that the alliance's integrated air defense architecture is being tested under live conditions, not exercises. For defense equity investors and sovereign bond analysts covering Bulgaria, Romania, and Cyprus, the relevant question is whether defense budget commitments accelerate. NATO's 2% gross domestic product spending target, already a political flashpoint, becomes harder to resist when ballistic missiles are intercepted over alliance territory. Electronic warfare gaps and the readiness deficit behind the deterrence rhetoric NATO's public confidence in its deterrence posture coexists with an acknowledged capability deficit that the Ukraine war has exposed. Brigadier Adel Mold, the Norwegian commander overseeing Task Force Legio, told Business Insider in August 2026 that electronic warfare is a skill the West had quite some capacity in during the Cold War, but that went away after the Soviet Union's collapse as alliance focus shifted to counterinsurgency. Now, Mold said, the West needs to rebuild that. The implication for the Iran threat vector is direct. Iran's ballistic missile program operates in an electromagnetic environment where jamming, spoofing, and communications disruption are core components of any contested engagement. The four missiles intercepted over Turkey this year were kinetic successes for NATO's air defense. Whether they represent electronic warfare successes as well, meaning whether NATO's detection, tracking, and command networks performed as designed under jamming conditions, is not disclosed in available reporting. Norway is leading a multinational training effort on NATO soil at Camp Jomsborg in Poland, described by Mold as one of several, but maybe the most important sensor for information on lessons from the Ukraine conflict. Ukrainian soldiers bring direct combat experience in drone and electronic warfare that Western trainers are now absorbing. That knowledge transfer is a long cycle. The Iran threat operates on a shorter one. Our view, the gap between NATO's public deterrence statements and its documented electronic warfare rebuild cycle represents a capability discount that the market has not yet priced into European defense procurement timelines. Companies in the electronic warfare, signals intelligence, and integrated air defense supply chain carry a readiness premium that current multiples do not fully reflect. The MOU collapse, negotiating failure as a pricing event, the U.S.-Iran Memorandum of Understanding, signed in June 2026 to end hostilities, set a deadline for a permanent agreement. That deadline expired Monday. No negotiations are currently taking place. Trump has separately said no talks with Iran are planned, according to Al Jazeera's reporting. This is a bilateral negotiating failure with multilateral consequences. The MOU's expiration without succession removes the one structural restraint on Iranian escalation that had been formalized since the war began in February. Iran has already demonstrated willingness to strike U.S. bases across the Middle East and has issued standing warnings that nations assisting military action against Tehran become legitimate targets. The Bulgaria warning from Araghchi, delivered through official diplomatic channels and reported by Iran's state-aligned Tasnim news agency, is not ambiguous. For institutional investors, the MOU collapse is a pricing event in three asset classes: sovereign credit spreads on southeastern European NATO members with U.S. basing agreements, energy futures linked to Strait of Hormuz transit risk, and defense sector equities across the alliance. The Strait of Hormuz dimension is noted in Al Jazeera's own related coverage, with reporting on an Iran-Oman-Hormuz deal and Trump's threat to bomb Oman surfacing in parallel with the NATO statement. Terms and financial details of the Iran-Oman arrangement were not disclosed in available reporting. Immigration pressure as a secondary stress variable on NATO cohesion, a concurrent development, adds political friction to the alliance calculus. The Trump administration deported 20 people to Liberia on August 20, 2026, the first tranche of an arrangement that will see up to 1,200 migrants transferred under an agreement described by a new Refugees International and Human Rights First report as one of the largest single third country deportation arrangements the administration has pursued. The U.S. extended visitor visas for Liberians from 12 to 36 months and pledged $124 million in assistance as part of the deal. The connection to NATO is indirect but real. Trump's immigration enforcement architecture, built on bilateral deals with roughly 35 countries covering approximately 23,000 people sent to 26 nations as of early August 2026, generates political capital and political debt simultaneously. European NATO members navigating the Iran threat do so against a backdrop of a U.S. administration that is simultaneously pressuring allies on burden sharing, immigration cooperation, and defense spending. Coalition cohesion under those conditions is a variable, not a constant. The placemium view the market is reading the NATO-Iran standoff as a security story. It is a capital allocation story. The MOU expiration, the Besmer authorization, the Cyprus drone strike precedent, and the four intercepted missiles over Turkey form a sequence, not a collection of independent events. What they describe is a sustained, low-to-medium intensity conflict between Iranian assets and the NATO-US alliance that has no diplomatic off-ramp as of August 19, 2026. The absence of negotiations is not a pause. It is a condition. Placemium's thesis, Southeastern European NATO members with U.S. basing agreements, specifically Bulgaria and Cyprus, are underpriced on geopolitical risk. Their sovereign spreads do not reflect the Araghchi warning, which was direct, documented, and delivered through official channels to a sitting foreign minister. That is not ambient threat rhetoric. That is a specific deterrence communication to a specific government. The second-order play is in defense procurement. NATO's electronic warfare rebuild, which Mould explicitly described as a priority emerging from the Ukraine training mission, is a multi-year procurement cycle. It favors platform-agnostic electronic warfare integrators over legacy kinetic systems vendors. The four intercepted missiles demonstrate that kinetic air defense is functional. The question Mould raises is whether the detection and command layer beneath the kinetic response is equally robust. That question drives the next procurement cycle, not the current one. The bottom line, institutional capital should treat the MOU expiration as a hard reset on Iranian threat modeling for European assets. The ceasefire architecture is gone. The next catalyst is either a new agreement, which requires negotiations that do not currently exist, or an escalation event in Europe. Portfolios with unhedged Southeastern European sovereign or infrastructure exposure face asymmetric downside. Defense electronics and integrated air defense supply chains carry the asymmetric upside.